You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Also, write at grizzlybearblues.com as the assistant editor. You can check out my work over there. You can get the Locked On Grizzlies podcast on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, literally wherever you get your shows from. We are everywhere. And when you get in your car, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Grizzlies, and it will play the latest one. Coming up on today's show, Joe Monick, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, joined me. That is kind of our conversation today. Got a little out of hand, got a bit away from me, and went a little longer than I anticipated. So that will be our show today. We argue about Jonas Valanciunas for a minute and what he's kind of worth and what we think he might be coming up next year. We talk about him as well as the front office and changes that need to be made and a variety of other topics. So enjoy that conversation with Joe Monick. Welcome back to the show. As always on this episode, this day of the show, Joe Monick, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. What's going on, man?
You know, the usual, just writing a game preview for the blog, the injury report being longer than the actual post itself. I think 8 Grizzlies now are either questionable or worse for the game against the Portland Trailblazers. So, you know, things are going really well. Things are going really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually sound much better than I did yesterday. Yesterday, the weather here in Memphis went from 70 to 30 over the weekend, and I got just super sick. So yesterday, I was barely able to get an episode out, but much better today. I want to ask you something, I don't know if this is true or not, but I always come back to this. Like, does it feel like the Grizzlies have more injuries than everybody else, or is it just? It happens to us, and we're just pay attention to us. We don't really see the outside. But I mean, do you think that the Grizzlies have more injuries than everybody else?
Yes, I do, and I think that it's time, if they haven't already done so, and I know they say that they have, they need to kind of reevaluate how they handle their medical staff. I'll never necessarily advocate for someone being fired, or at least sure. I won't celebrate it, because I think anybody who's ever been in that spot, you know, you can certainly empathize with folks, you know, even if you're making 6 or even 7 figures, depending on the job, you know, you're still out of work. And that can be a pretty impactful thing for families. I'll never necessarily celebrate the idea, but at the same time, you know, there's accountability, especially at the highest level of professional sports like the NBA is. And at various levels within that Grizzlies organization, I feel like people aren't being held accountable. And the training staff's part of that. They have, it feels like, and it's not like this is a new phenomenon, Mark. Last year,
right.
It was a very similar situation. And then 2 years before that was the infamous 28 players in a season, barely made the playoffs, you know, the Hateful Eight kind of season where Zach and Tony pretty much were the ones trying to carry them through a playoff series, and that didn't
end
really well. I think they got swept in 4 games. It's not like this is a new development. So it's carried over across multiple different types of players. You know, Mike Conley, going back to that, I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, I'm pretty sure Mike Conley is the only guy left from that original roster. I could be mistaken, forgetting about somebody off the top of my head, but Conley's certainly the biggest star left from that team, and they're still having injury problems across different types of players. So I think that's something that really needs to be evaluated, how they handle, how they do treatment, how they pre-treat and try to be proactive. Whatever they're doing is obviously not working. It's hard for me to believe that all of these guys simply have, you know, ailments because they're unhealthy people. And if that is the case, then the front office needs to be more vigilant when it comes to signing and trading for these players.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know that much about sports medicine. So it's always, you know, I have the kind of the same thought. Like, it seems like this happens every single year, and it's just like over and over again. And I know there are obviously bad luck. Like, you know, Jonas rolling an ankle, that's just kind of bad luck.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that. Like, I get that. But it feels like there's just sometimes there's just so many, it adds up. And I always feel like, well, you know, it's hard for me to say one way, like, you know, definitively, because I don't really know that much about it. I don't know how what preventative natures they take or whatever, but you're right. Like, at some point, like, you know, it can't be like just something that just randomly happens to your team. If it's happening every single year, this time of the year, there's multiple people out with injuries. So, I mean, I get it. You know, again, bad luck, it happens. But at some point, it just feels like it just continues to happen. Speaking of getting fired, like that segue, yeah. Ernie Grunfeld with the Wizards got let go. Chris Wallace, as we have talked about this maybe a little bit, but we both agree, obviously, that there needs to be a change in the offseason. But the million-dollar question is, will there be? You've seen teams like the Wizards, the Pelicans, the Suns, I believe. Like, other teams have already let, you know, people in their front office go, let president of basketball operations go. They already have the head start on the Grizzlies on finding a new president of basketball operations or GM or whatever you want to call it these days. Do you think it's actually going to happen? And why wait so long? If you're going to do it, why wait till the offseason? Why not do it now?
I do think it's going to happen. And again, I'm not going to celebrate necessarily when Chris Wallace is fired, because again, he will have lost his job. And while Chris Wallace will almost certainly land on his feet somewhere in the NBA in some sort of role, it might be the last time he's ever a general manager. So I can empathize with that, but it's definitely time. And you mentioned early Ernie Grunfeld a moment ago. If Ernie Grunfeld can get fired, you know, after 16 years being on the job in Washington, and the reason, because I live in the D.C. area, the reason that was given for his termination, according to owner Ted Leonsis, was the failure to meet the stated goal of achieving a playoff berth. That should sound familiar to Memphis Grizzlies fans. That was the stated goal from this organization. Robert Parra went on the Chris Vernon show and said, you know, you can dispute whether he was just saying in passing they could win 50 games if he actually meant it. It was pretty clear the way they were building this team that they thought they could be a playoff team this year. And they weren't a playoff team this year. And they weren't that, to the point where they decided to trade away, if not their best player, their second best player at this point, one of the best players in franchise history, in Mark Gasol. Where is the accountability? Again, there has to be accountability, especially at the highest levels of professional sports. And the thing that makes me nervous about it, Mark, and I guess it depends on your opinions of Tayshaun Prince, Chris Makris, the guys already in that front office. If Robert Parra does move on from Chris Wallace, John Hollinger, whoever, maybe a combination of the two, and you look at the hiring process, look at how they hired J.B. Bickerstaff. And I know we've talked about on the show before when I've come on, you know, maybe they bring JB back because it's only been 1 year, because of the injuries. You can make a logical argument for bringing him back, even though I wouldn't do that. At least there's logic there. To me, there's no logic in keeping Chris Wallace in the organization anymore. But if you bring JB Bickerstaff back, then it logically makes sense to bring in a Chris Makris or Tayshaun Prince and to promote them and to give them more responsibility, more power, guys that are already in the building. And you kind of just reload from there, giving more power, more influence and more of a voice to folks you've kind of been grooming for the past several years. So I think some sort of change is coming. I'm not sure how they can maintain interest of Grizzlies fans if they don't. As I've said on this show before, Grizzlies fans are a smart bunch for the most part. They see that this isn't working. I think there's some people that think that the current version of the team is working better than it actually is, or that it actually would in an actual trying to win situation, or not necessarily trying to win, but playing teams on a consistent basis that are trying to win is maybe the better way to put it, because Memphis is still trying to convey that pick, or at least they were before Valanciunas went out. It'll be interesting to see how they handle the rest of these last five games or so of the 2019 season, or 2018-2019 season. So I think it's possible they make a move. I still think it's likely at this stage. But at the same time, how sweeping a change it is remains to be seen. And if you're going off of past history, it probably won't be as sweeping as most Grizzlies fans want it to be.
Yeah, I thought, you know, like you said, accountability is a huge thing. We obviously all have jobs, and if you don't perform up to expectations year after year after year, and you constantly make mistakes, at some point you just have to think, okay, like, and I'm with you. I'm not advocating that. I'm not going to celebrate people lose their jobs. I've personally been there, and it sucks. Like, but at the same time, like, if you're not meeting expectations at your job, then I think a different conversation has to be had. You mentioned Jonas Valanciunas. He rolled his ankle on Sunday. And I think I actually maybe even tweeted this live. I said on the Monday show, like, you know, wouldn't be surprised if he's done for the year, like really, really bad. Ends up being a grade 2 ankle sprain. There's been a lot of talk about Jonas. I had this very conversation on my show about what he is or what he is next year. I fully believe he'll probably opt in. If he's back next year, you know, some people are like, give Jonas the max, whatever it takes to keep him back, just because, you know, he's so different than Mark. So there's that, like, there's that ex-girlfriend thing. Like, you had one thing and now you love what you didn't have, kind of thing. And so I see a lot of people just going crazy for Jonas. I see a lot of people just, you know, being negative Nelly and say, look, there's no way he does anything near this next year. What do you think that Jonas is able – what does Jonas look like next year on this team? With obviously account with Jaron, Dylan, Kyle, all those guys being back as well.
I think that he's a guy who's worthy of roughly the money he's being paid currently. I don't see, you know, I think it was Matt Hardlicka who has a great Patreon page, former writer for us. He didn't say this in the article, so I'm not going to crush him for it because this is what he said. But he posted the number $11 million a year. Just kind of like in comparison in terms of value, I think Nikola Vucevic has that type of contract right now, and maybe that was the comparison he was trying to make. Not necessarily saying that's what Jonas should be paid, but just making that comparison. That would not be enough money to pay Jonas Valanciunas, at least not in my opinion. If you offer him that, he's going to leave. Because I think a team like the Knicks, a team like the Lakers, that's going to have money, especially a team like the Knicks that maybe can bring a Kevin Durant, but they strike out on another free agent. Maybe Kyrie decides to do the Supermax in Boston, or he decides to go back to LeBron in L.A., and they don't get any other major free agent. You can get Jonas Valanciunas probably for $18 to $20 million, get him to New York, and you've got another very good basketball player there. I think his defensive issues are overblown to an extent. He's done a decent job in rim protection at times. He's definitely inconsistent on that end. I think that it's important to remember that he's coming off of a serious injury that he was out for almost 2 months with, and that probably explains some of his conditioning issues, even at this point in the season, you know, a month back from that injury. Your wind, especially when it comes to basketball, is something that takes some time to develop and get back if you've been inactive for a long time. So I think he deserves some benefit of the doubt there. But at the same time, if you look at the elite teams in the Western Conference, if you're trying to be a playoff team, the concern is fair. Does he look at Valanciunas and say, well, what happens when Draymond Green plays the five for the Warriors? And now it's Valanciunas against Draymond Green. Or, well, what happens against Nikola Jokic and four shooters, the four out, one in kind of system that Denver can implement? You know, he's going to be caught flat-footed. He's not skilled enough. He's not physically capable of playing the type of defense on a team basis to have success against those types of squads that figure to be in the elite of the Western Conference for years to come. So I see both sides of it. I think the most likely scenario is Valanciunas opting into this year of the deal and then maybe adding 2 years to it. So I think his player option is for what? $17.9 million, something like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe, so if you just kind of round up to 18 there, maybe he goes up to 19 in 2020, and then 2021, it goes up to 20. And I could see that being a kind of, you know, 37 or 57 or $58 million over 3 years kind of extension. To me, that's good value for him. You know, he's a big who will fit well next to Jaron. Obviously, you wish you had more concrete evidence of that, but I think most folks agree that they should fit well together. It keeps Memphis different because they're not going to be able to select or, you know, keep in town super elite talent, whether it be via free agency or whether it be in the draft, at least this year, if they do indeed convey the pick. So you're really kind of in a tough spot where you're trying to keep as many young-ish talented players as possible as long as the money's right. And I think that my ceiling, like I said, for a Valanciunas contract would probably be in that $57 million neighborhood over 3 years, including him opting into that player option for 2019-2020. Anything more than that, and I think it's fair to be concerned, if somehow they were able to get him to do $15 million a year, maybe you go up to a fourth year and you're willing to do that if it's a flat $15 million per, if he values the stability and – and the soundness that is a longer term deal, maybe you consider that option. I do think that he'll fit well next to Jaren. I think he obviously rebounds well, he scores well, and he has a style of game that resonates with Memphis Grizzlies fans. You know, it's easy to kind of poo-poo that idea, but if you're about to enter a long-term rebuild, you don't want to have a type of basketball that people don't want to watch. You know what I mean? It has to be at least an entertaining product as you go through this long-term period of losing. And I think Valanciunas provides that for Grizzlies fans.
So I just want to make sure I heard you there. Heard you right. You think that if Valanciunas goes over, like if he were to go on a free agency this year, you think he's going to get somewhere in $18 to $20 million?
Roughly. I think that's realistic.
We don't agree on a whole lot or disagree on a whole lot, but that I'd be shocked if he got $19 million from a team. I really would.
Well, you got to remember over half of the NBA has money this year. And even though this is a strong free agent class, I mean, think about, and I think Chris Harrington wrote about this, think about the various teams that are actually going to have money, that are going to have opportunities that don't have a center. You know, there's several teams that are in that boat. Now, again, the NBA is gravitating away from bigs and all that jazz. I think Valanciunas opts in anyway. Like, I think that's
right. Yeah, no, I think he does too.
A lock at this point, because there's no way he makes more than what that player option is if I'm the Grizzlies this coming season. Like, I think that needs to be, this is what we traded you for, this is what we anticipate. If you opt out, that's going to be our starting point for a year one, and if you want more than that, we're going to pass. That to me is a done deal. If he opts into that and then decides to do, again, a three-year extension beyond the player option for $45 million, so that's essentially $15 million per, then you sign that immediately. I have a hard time seeing him making a ton less than $15 million. I see that as the floor. You got to remember, obviously, salary cap continues to go up, and he's producing at a pretty elite level. Now, he was doing this back when the Grizzlies, you know, again, when he first came back from injury. It's not like he is the Marshawn Brooks effect that Tyler Dorsey is to an extent. And he was doing this in Toronto. He was
Yeah, but I mean, in Toronto, though, to be fair, in Toronto, he was only getting 22 minutes a game. He's getting 32 here.
Yeah, exactly. And he's doing the same exact thing, is my point. You know, people that like to critique per 36 minutes, saying that, oh, they don't play 36 minutes. Well, he is almost playing 36 minutes here, and he's putting up the same numbers that he did in Toronto. There was no loser in the Grizzlies-Raptors trade. Mark fits the Raptors like a glove. That was a brilliant move by them in terms of bringing in a guy who helps them in areas they needed assistance. And when it comes to the Grizzlies, DeLon Wright has done some good things, and I think Jonas Valanciunas has been a pretty good player for them as well. You know, he plays a similar style to Zach Randolph. I think he has the potential not to be a fan favorite to the level of Zach Randolph, but I think that his game is attractive. It pairs nicely with Jaren. And I don't see the harm in bringing him back if the price is right. And I don't necessarily see him agreeing to staying in Memphis for anything less than $15 million per year. And I don't know why he would opt out of a contract if that truly was his market. I don't see that being his market. I think he's worth more than that Vucevic deal. The Vucevic deal was signed years ago.
Right. No, I think, you know, I think we're probably about $6 to $8 million off. I think I'd start with him at about $12 million. Now would go, my ceiling would go up to 15. You have to take into account that next year, he's not going to be putting up these type of numbers. He's going to be going back to playing 22 minutes a game because you're going to, all your shot distribution is going to go back to Jaren Jackson Jr. You're going to want him taking 15 shots a game. So, I mean, are you really going to pay $19 million for a guy? Are you really going to pay $19 million for a guy who's doing 15 and 8?
But why would he not play 32 minutes a game?
I'm just saying there's going to be a rotation of four bigs, and you're going to have.
Who's going to be their other center, Joakim Noah?
Well, they're going to have a backup center, period. You can't play the whole game.
But that's my point. Who's it going to be?
It will be somebody that plays roughly 15 to 20 minutes a game. Jaren's going to play 30 minutes a game at the four. I mean, you know, I don't see him getting 30 minutes a game next year. I just don't.
Like you said, we're pretty far off on this. I don't see how he wouldn't. I mean, Ivan Rabb is not an NBA big right now, in my opinion. He is not capable of defending fives, and that's probably what he is. Now, can he transform his body in an offseason? Sure. He can get bigger. Hopefully, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Sure.
does the same thing. But yeah. I think a lot of this connects back to what you see Jaren Jackson Jr. as right now. If you think Jaren Jackson Jr. can play the five in the NBA right now, then you probably have a similar view to what you're saying. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just in my conversations with others, if you think Jaren is a five and he can be a five pretty immediately, then maybe you're not as high on Valanciunas. I don't think Jaren has the physical capability in terms of size, in terms of rebounding. He's a pretty abysmal rebounder compared to other bigs his size. He's not good at being a rebounder right now. You need somebody there to be a guy who can clean the glass for you. And Jaren's not that right now. He's just not.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's not a five. He's about 4 years away from being a five, if he ever is.
So why not sign Jonas Valanciunas to a 3-year deal?
I want them to sign Jonas long term. I have no problem with that. I just don't. I think my point is, I think the market's going to dictate something different than $19 million. Is what I'm saying. The most likely scenario here is he opts in $17 million, and then they just see what the market is next year, basically before his extension. You know, before he can sign an extension and kind of see where everything shakes out. That's probably the most realistic scenario. But I would love for them to extend Jonas. I don't even really have a problem paying. You know, I think anything you go above 17 and I start to get a little bit iffy on it, but I don't have a problem with that amount of money. I think he's probably worth somewhere around $15 to $16 million a year. I don't think he's worth 19 or 20, but again, we're talking, you know, not much difference here. I mean, it's a lot of difference in terms of free agent signings, but it's not in terms of difference of just, you know, dollars and cents. So I hope he signs long-term. He's fun to watch. I just don't know what his production will be when those guys come back and the shot distribution goes from, you know, he's basically taking every shot he can get now. And it goes from having share shots with Jaren, Kyle, whoever your two guard is, you know, DeLon.
Hold on. Share shots with Kyle Anderson.
He's going to shoot the ball.
And juggernaut. That is Kyle Anderson.
I'm just saying he's going to shoot the ball. That's what I'm saying. He's going
right,
to shoot
maybe
the ball.
Two or three times a game. He's terrified to shoot the ball.
If he's shooting two or three times a game, we have problems.
He's horrified to shoot the basketball.
That's probably true.
Point the game.
My larger point is there are other people that are going to shoot the basketball besides Jonas Valanciunas right now. That's my larger point.
That's a fair point. I mean, Dylan Brooks is a better argument for that, in my opinion. That's
sure, than Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, as a sixth man type, he'll shoot the ball. I mean, I understand your perspective, and I do think that we can find common ground on $15 million. Trust me, I don't necessarily want to pay Jonas Valanciunas
sure.
$19 million, but I think it's hard for him to opt in as a player option of $17.9 million. The salary cap keeps going up in increments of $8 to $10 million every year, and then say, oh, yeah, I'll go down $8 million from what I'm currently getting paid. I don't see that happening. I think your starting point is somewhere at least at 15 if he values years, and that's where you're going from. If you're not comfortable with that, that's, you know, your perspective and your opinion. I've been right before and I've been wrong before, and both will happen again as long as I'm doing this line of work. But at the same time, I just look at Jaren Jackson Jr. and I see the potential in him and what he can be. I just don't think he can be what the Grizzlies need him to be as a rebounder, as a physical presence at this stage of his career. And that's okay, because he's one of the youngest players in the NBA. So it's not necessarily a knock on Jaren as much as it is an acknowledgement that they may have found somebody that can help be a bridge to him becoming a center in Valanciunas.
No, I think you're right about that. You know, Jaren is not a five, and they're going to need help rebounding. And quite frankly, you just have to have players. Like, at the end of the day,
right.
You can't just roll out
the basketball team.
Yeah, you can't just roll out seven G League players like they're rolling out right now, because no one's going to come watch that. So, like, right. At some point, you have to value what sells tickets. At the same time, like you said, you know, being a fan favorite, like a la Z-Bo, he's not going to be Z-Bo, but at some point, you have to take that into account as well. What gets people in the seats? So, like, I get it. But I guess we could just get Zion and not have to worry about it, right? Like, if we just got Zion, then it wouldn't matter. Like, him and Jaren would take all the shots, and I'd be right. No, just kidding.
if you get Zion, then Jonas Valanciunas becomes a contender for sixth man of the year, and the conversation changes entirely.
You know, do you think you could play? You think you could play Zion at the three?
Yeah, I think Zion could play the
Zion at the three, Jaren at the four, Jonas at the five.
But now you're getting into an issue of floor spacing, you know, and I think that's the, you're going to have to surround Zion. I mean, Zion's LeBron, you know, let's be honest, Larry Johnson, that's the type of player that he is, especially early in his career. You want to get as many shooters around him as possible. So can he play the three? I think Zion Williamson can play any freaking position on the floor. If you watch the guy play, his athleticism is just so elite. I mean, like I said, he's like if LeBron James and Larry Johnson had a baby. That's what he reminds me of in terms of his physicality. But at the same time, you know, he's not a great perimeter shooter. That's something that can be developed, but he's not there yet. And if you want him to be as effective as he could probably be right away, to me, he's better suited to be a four. You know, you put Dylan Brooks, DeLon Wright, Mike Conley, you know, those types of guys potentially in a starting lineup alongside Jaren and Zion. That's four shooters that can convert from range or at least penetrate off the dribble in the case of DeLon. And that gives Zion a little bit more space to work with. So that's what I would do. And like I said, if you get Zion Williamson, then the conversation
solved,
changes. It changes entirely.
I mean, it does.
Like I said, Jonas Valanciunas becomes a sixth man, and you definitely don't re-sign him. And you just kind of rock with Jaren and Zion as your front court for the next decade.
Yeah, the conversation changes into a very different conversation if you get Zion Williamson. It'll be, man, that would be fun. That's all we can hope for at this point, because the Grizzlies doesn't look like they're going to convey. They're rolling out a G League lineup the rest of these five games, it looks like. I don't know if Mike Conley is – I haven't seen the injury report, but I don't know if Mike Conley plays again or not. I probably wouldn't play him.
He's doubtful for Portland. I would imagine he doesn't play again.
Yeah, because I mean, I would be shocked.
What happens if he blows out his Achilles and they can't put him on the trading block?
Exactly.
They have to trade him. I want to stress that. They don't have to trade him. They don't. It's not like they're going to trade him and then all of a sudden become players in the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes. That's not how this is going to work. So they can move him and get good value if it's there. And I think that if they do make a front office move, that puts them in a place, as I've said before, that move on from maybe some other players on the roster and then restart. But at the same time, they don't have to move him at this stage. They want to be able to have the option to if they want to. And you can't do that if the dude's got a torn Achilles or, God forbid, some other
very
injury.
True.
I'd be stunned if Conley plays again.
I will as well. Joel Monick, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me. We don't have too many more of these, but we shall do it again next week.
Anytime you'll have me, I'm on. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new podcast app, Himalaya, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, literally wherever you get your podcasts from. If you have a minute, please make sure you go to the Apple iTunes store and leave a review and rate the show. It really helps our show on Apple iTunes, the charts over there. So I really appreciate it if you guys have a minute to go do that for me as well. If you're not already following us on Twitter, please do so, at LockedOnGrizz on Twitter. You can follow my personal handle on Twitter, at King_producer. That is where we will continue the conversation after the show. If you still don't know where to go after all that, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.